Blog Talk Radio.
Why, hello, listeners of Cardinal Nation. Welcome to the Redbird Rants official podcast. This is episode 16 of our second season. I am Christian May Suzuki. I'm going to be hosting today, and I am joined by a couple of bright Cardinal writers. First off is one of our editors, Mr. Trevor Huth. Trevor, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was just... We were talking about it before. I just got away from watching Corey Kluber pitch, so I'm in a great baseball mood.
All right. That's always a spectacle to see. And I'm also joined by Russ Robinson. Russ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. Thank you, CMS.
All right. Good to hear. And Dan Campbell, one of our other contributors, might be joining us shortly, but he is currently not here at the moment. So let's get started with the big talk of the day, being all of the transactions and the trades and things that the Cardinals have done recently. So let's go down the list. Let's start simple with Lyons. Tyler Lyons got DFA'd. Probably means that's the end of his career as a Cardinal. I, for one, am happy to see him go. I was never a big fan. But let's start with Trevor. What do you think about Lyons going away?
I don't know. I always went back and forth on Tyler Lyons. This year he's been bad, but other years, I mean, you look at last year, he recorded a 2.86 FIP, obviously. And so when he does things like, you know, last season, he was pretty good. Sorry, I'm stumbling. I'm just opening up Tyler Lyons stats. But he pitched well last year, and so when he does that, obviously he's a guy that you like to have around. But he was just part of the major struggles this year in the Cardinals bullpen when you see his FIP go from, you know, below 3 to over 5. So DFAing him is probably the right move because it looks like that was kind of a fluke year anyway. But he's been decent enough to keep around until this year, and I really like the other moves that have been made to bring in some relievers, and I'm sure, I mean, we're going to be talking about those here coming up, so I'll hold back, but I think it's the right move.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll definitely get to that. Yeah, he certainly pitched well last year, but for me at least, he never really passed the eye test. There was never quite the sharpness or the velocity that really, to me, could fool MLB hitters on a consistent basis. But, Russ, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing what happened to Tyler this year. I thought, you know, there was some talk about making him the closer this year, you know, early in spring training and everything like that, you know, when they didn't know who they were going to have. And so for him to go from potential closer to just being DFA'd is really kind of amazing. I thought he was a good guy to have around in the, in middle innings to bring in. He was fairly effective, but that's what happens to relievers. Eventually, they seem like they run out of steam or run out of arms. So, yeah, I agree with Trevor. It was the right move to make at this time. They needed to clear that space for someone else.
Yeah, it's really tough, especially as a lefty. If you're a lefty, and with Tyler Lyons this year, he did not do great against other left-handed hitters this year. So that combination isn't quite great. So speaking of that combination, we have Brett Cecil, our second move, going to the DL with foot inflammation. Any comments? Do you think it's a real injury? Because I'm sniffing something different. What do you think, Russ?
I do too. I sniff something that they needed to get him out of the way so they can bring someone else in. It's really amazing, a 4-year deal. I thought at the time that he would. I kept expecting him to turn it around. I thought last year, well, that he's been good most years. he would turn it around this year, and he didn't, and he was hurt off and on, and it just never has worked out. It's been Mozeliak must be really embarrassed by this thing. It goes right up there with Mike Leake or something like that. Yeah, it sounds suspicious to me, CMS. I think he was probably just I think he showed up one day and they said, "Oop, you've got a lat injury, don't you?" So anyway, that's what I think about it.
Yeah, and funny you mentioned Mike Leake, because those moves were made so close to each other. It was not a great time for Mozilla. But
right.
Trevor, what do you think about Cecil? Do you think that this might be sort of the end of his time here? They might be trying to just get him out of the way?
I don't know that it's the end of his time here. That's going to be a tough contract to eat, just because it's in, you know, multi-year deal, and he's in year two. But I don't. Maybe, you know, I don't know how fake the injury is either. That's hard to tell. Maybe he walked in and said that maybe he stubbed his toe and they're just exaggerating. Who knows? But my thing with Cecil has always been that in the years that he was extremely successful, he was using his curveball almost half the time. Or at least he was using it more than his fastball. And for some reason, when he came over to the Cardinals, he stopped doing that. And to me, that's where a lot of his struggles came from. And I'm not saying this is a huge turnaround or anything, and honestly, I haven't even seen him pitch this year because it's hard for me to catch games. But just looking at the numbers on Fangraphs, again, he's using his curveball more this year and his fastball less, but it's still not where it was back when he was, you know, pitching like he deserved the deal that he got. So I don't know that he's necessarily coming to an end. Again, the contract's too hard to eat, in my opinion. I think they're just going to keep trying to work with him and work it out, and worst that happens is he keeps getting quote unquote hurt. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that there is, you know, enough to work with, especially since he's an older guy and that he has the experience with, you know, working through rough spots. So I think that they'll give him a little more time, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just somehow they try and just dump him out. But moving on to one of the trades that happened, the Cardinals gave up Sam Tuivailoa for reliever Sam Elledge. So I'll give you some info on that. Elledge is 22 right now. He was the 2017 fourth rounder. He's a pitcher, and he's currently the 20th overall prospect with us. His four-seamer hits around 92, throws a slider at about 78.5 miles an hour, and also throws a changeup at about 81. He's been going crazy in high A. In 38.1 innings, he's a 1.17 ERA. He strikes out 12.68 Ks per nine, which is pretty impressive considering the lack of velocity. And his walks per nine are pretty low at just 2.53. I for one, liked Tui. I thought that his stuff had a lot of life, and I thought that he had definitely had a lot of potential. But I'm really excited for what Elledge can do. But Trevor, what do you think about this trade?
Yeah, I like it. I'm sure that you writers know, if the listeners do not, that I'm a huge prospects guy, and you know, I like the minors. So getting a guy like this is really exciting because of what he's shown so far in the minors with the Mariners. You know, he's showing the ability to get whiffs, and that's what I like about him. He's you know, over 12 strikeouts per nine, and ground ball percentage at 50 is also pretty good. So I don't know. I like it a lot. Tui was always an interesting case. I never hated him, but if you're going to blow up the bullpen, might as well get a bullpen of the future. So I like the deal, and I think that he could be a very key piece in a future Cardinals roster. He did drop into the Cardinals top 30 prospects too, which is always good to get, especially I would think from a guy like Tui, who I probably would have told you wouldn't have netted somebody who lands in the top 30. But Elledge did, I believe, drop in there somewhere. He dropped in at 20. So he's obviously not, you know, the greatest, not the top guy, not a huge, highly touted guy, but he did drop in there, and that's always good to have.
Yeah, I mean, the only concern for me is, I personally haven't seen him, so I don't know how heavy his slider breaks or how good his changeup is or anything like that. But guy who throws 92 mile an hour usually isn't able to get the kind of Ks that Alec just getting in high in the major leagues. That just at 92 usually doesn't happen. So that would be the only thing that's a little bit worrisome for me, at least, because you had a guy like Tui who, if you developed his control, he was able to throw like 95, 96, get way, way up there. but, I mean, Russ, what do you think about this trade?
Well, I was a little surprised that Tui was when they traded. I thought he was kind of the guy, one of the guys that was semi-reliable, and I thought they might keep him around. I don't know if he's running out of options or what with the Cardinals, but, you know, I was surprised they got rid of him, and I guess we'll just trust the Cardinals that they got a good prospect out of it. I guess they, you know, like I don't know if Trevor said, if you're going to blow up the bullpen, I guess you might as well go ahead and do it and start over and, you know, and get a fresh start. But I didn't have anything against Tui. I thought he was okay, so I was a little surprised. But if that's what they need to do to move forward to rebuild this bullpen, that's fine with me. I'm not emotional about it.
Yeah, I mean, I in a way I agree with you guys. I mean, it seems like if you're going to blow something up, you got to blow it up. And I mean, they have, it just didn't seem like it was working out to it. We were giving him the opportunities and his control was just still not quite there. So, you know, it was just wasn't the right situation per se. So moving on to the most recent trade that occurred, the Cardinals gave Luke Voit to the Yankees for Chasen Schreve and Giovanni Gallegos. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Schreve is a 28-year-old lefty. He had a great first two couple of years, but last three he struggled. His four-seamer averages in just under 93 miles per hour. He has a slider that goes in around 86, a hair under, and then a splitter that's a hair under 85. He's actually right now he's close to 11 Ks per nine, but he's at 4.26 walks per nine, and he was at almost five last year. And it is also at 1.89 homers per nine, even though his BABIP is still under three. His signature pitch is his slider, or sorry, his splitter. His bad pitch is a slider. His signature pitch is a splitter. He has, which has actually been pretty effective this year. A 190 batting average allowed, 286 BABIP, and a 310 slugging. And then Gallegos is the 21st overall prospect on the Cardinals. In the Cardinals' top 30 now, right behind Elledge. He's a 26-year-old righty, throws a four-seamer that's around 94.5 miles an hour, a changeup at around 87 miles per hour, and a slider at 85.7. I don't know if you guys have heard anything else about these guys, but I haven't. So, Russ, have you heard of anything else about these guys? And if not, what do you think about this trade?
Well, no, I haven't heard anything else. What you've just repeated to us is everything I've heard. You know, I guess Luke Voit wasn't going anywhere in the Cardinal organization. I guess they saw that and hit a dead end. A decent player, and, you know, maybe he'll get an opportunity in the Yankee organization. But, you know, I guess all the relievers or arms are promoting up to St. Louis. They need to rebuild. They need to bring someone in to fill in some gaps. And the Cardinal pitching coaches, minor league pitching coaches, have been pretty good about developing players and talent, and maybe they saw something in these two guys that they thought would help beef up the system, or maybe even one of them's coming up to St. Louis, isn't there? Is one of those guys going to be in St. Louis, or did I?
Schreve is going to be a lefty out of the bullpen. I believe he has a high fours ERA this year right now with the Yankees.
Right, and so maybe they think they can work with him, maybe get some usage out of them. This whole thing with the bullpen is kind of what I thought they should do, is they should get some low risk prospects and see what, and that's usually what you do with the middle part of the bullpen. You know, Cardinals have done that in the past with some success. And I put a piece out earlier in the week, talking about what they did in 2011, just by not doing anything spectacular, but they helped the bullpen a whole lot by bringing in a couple of arms. So I think that's what they're trying to do here. And I've been calling for them to do this, so they've done it. So let's see if it helps. I sure hope it does. I guess after the first two games with the Cubs, it looks kind of promising.
Yeah. I don't know if, I'm sure people have seen it, but Schreve gave an interview, too, when he got traded. and he was very much emotionally talking about how much he loved the guys in the locker room. And, you know, just seemed like a very good, very genuine kind of guy. So, you know, adding that to it too, even though he has his struggles here and there, I think that, you know, working with a guy like that, I mean, especially with if the rumors are true that Matheny was sort of a gloomy guy and that the locker room got a little bit, clubhouse got a little gloomy as a result, you know, bringing those kind of unifying guys in there might be nice. But, Trevor, what are your thoughts?
I really like this deal. Part of the deal that I really like is that along with Voit went international signing money, because that was able to get them a little bit extra that they wouldn't have been able to get just sending Voit over. And especially with the restrictions on the Cardinals this year in the international signing or in the international pool, I think it's genius to start using that and giving it away. You've already gotten a pretty decent guy in Malcolm Nunez, but you sign him for the max. You can sign anybody, which is $300,000. That's not going to get you anybody really of worth, although Nunez seems pretty worth it on the surface. So on to you know, what you get. You get Chasen Shreve, who, yes, his ERA is over 4, and his FIP is 4.98, but his XFIP, which is, you know, some would view as better, I don't know, but that's a 3.71. So I think he's a lot better than he's pitching, and he's proven to be a lot better than he's pitching. He's had a few good seasons. He started crying. If you listen to the interview, it's because he liked New York. He liked his teammates, all that stuff. I'm sure he'll find the same thing in St. Louis. Some like that quality. It's called loyalty. So I'm assuming that'll start to translate. But the thing about Shreve for me is if you look at the lefties that the Cardinals had in their bullpen, Cecil on the DL, Lyons DFA'd, and you call up Tyler Webb. Tyler Webb's really bad. I'm sorry. I've seen him pitch a couple times. I am just not a fan of him. So what Shreve does is Shreve gives you a better lefty. He's a better option. So I really like that move. And you didn't have to give up too much for him. I think he could be pretty good. As far as Gallegos go, I've seen him pitch too, you know, because the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders play the Mud Hens, and they came in to pitch. He's got a plus fastball and a plus curveball according to MLB Pipeline, and he uses them both pretty well. Two pitches out of the bullpen can make a good reliever. His ceiling seems to be as a seventh inning guy according to MLB Pipeline. I always take those ceilings with a grain of salt because you just never know, especially with a guy who's got 2-plus pitches. He's got a changeup that's below average that he's quote-unquote working on. But if he can get the job done with his fastball and his curveball, then he could be a really good addition. And like you said, he drops in at number 21 on the prospect list. And all that is a pretty good return for Luke Voit and some money that you're not going to use, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I personally like Voit. I think he was a great hitter, but he does remind me a little bit of another player that we'll talk about later as a first baseman, where he's much better in the AL than in the NL for some certain reasons, but we'll get to that later. Let's go over another couple of moves that, Trevor, you alluded to that I'll let you keep going on. Because I'm sure you have plenty to say. We have 3 minor league call-ups in Lane Thomas, Dakota Hudson, and the aforementioned Tyler Webb. So go for it, Trevor. Let me hear it.
Well, again, the only – I mean, well, I won't say the only because you did mention Dakota Hudson, but just Tyler Webb, you guys know I was an editor for – the Milwaukee Brewers fan side of the site when they traded for him. And he came up to the Brewers and his first pitch was a home run. Might've been a grand slam. I don't remember. From then on, I've not been a fan of Tyler Webb, but it was obviously more than just that. I mean, he was DFA'd by them and they went to San Diego where he was, again, I believe DFA'd or put on waivers in some capacity. And that's when the Cardinals got him. So he's other teams trash in a way, and I don't see that going well. So I think, again, getting Shreve was a great thing. Dakota Hudson is, how do I put this, a stud, and I think that they're using him right too. He can start. He would be a good starter this year.
but he's going to be great out of the bullpen. His walk numbers are still a little bit high, which is why he would struggle some in a starting role. But his stuff is just nasty. I mean, he made his debut, and it went really well for a reason. I think he had 2 strikeouts, so his stuff is just nasty. He's ready for the MLB level, and I think that leading him in as a reliever is one of the smartest things that the team could do. I wrote about it before, called it a crazy idea. I didn't think it was that crazy. There's plenty of precedent for it. And next year you bring him back, spring training, give him a chance to start, see how he does, and hopefully that getting some confidence at the major league level will help him rein in his control. If nothing else, it gives him some experience, which will stop him from being shaky at the knees when he's trying to succeed in a starting role. You know, just starting out as a guy straight up from the minors, he'll have that experience under him, and he'll know what to expect, which I think will help him become a successful starter next season. And honestly, I don't know much about the third guy, so I digress with Dakota Hudson.
All right. Well, I personally don't know too much about Tyler Webb, so I'll take your word for it and not like him too much, Trevor. I'm definitely... I'll agree with Hudson. I mean, he is like you said, he would be a good starting pitcher, but he's not someone that would be an ace right away, and he's not someone that needs to be rushed into the starting role at this point. I think that the Cardinals are doing it perfectly, and that's sort of the standard phasing him from the bullpen into the starting role. I think that so long as they give him consistent opportunities and let him sort of role as, you know, as the direction of the franchise seems to be moving towards, you know, the younger guys in the future. But Russ, what do you think about, you know, Hudson, Webb, or Lane Thomas?
Well, I agree with you guys on Dakota Hudson. He's and I think they are handling it right. They're making him a reliever, bringing him in. Like Trevor said, there's plenty of precedents for the Cardinals doing that, and I think that's a smart move. And it showed up last night. I think he pitched an inning, and then they got him out, and I think that was the right move. He could walk away with a pretty good feeling. He looked pretty good that inning. And I think he's just the right type of guy right now to build up to help out the bullpen quite a bit. So I would leave him there for right now, like Trevor said, until next spring, and then see if he's ready to go for a starter spot. Tyler Webb, I didn't know a lot about him. I wasn't particularly he wasn't a head turner when the Cardinals picked him up, and you know, I guess he was doing okay in the minor leagues, but I guess they just brought him up just for insurance until they could get someone else up. And it sounds like I would expect him to be sent back down to the minors today. And then as far as this Thomas guy, he just was promoted to AAA. He's not coming up to the big league, is he? Isn't that the deal? Is that what I understand? Lane Thomas?
Sorry, I missed that word. No, I believe he got called up to the majors, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Well, I thought he was coming.
Lane Thomas will be in Memphis. He just got called up.
Oh,
Memphis.
Lane Thomas will be in Memphis. My mistake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought one of us wrote about that today. I don't know who it was. You, Trevor? Someone wrote about Lane
that'd
Thomas.
That'd be me.
Yeah, getting called up to Memphis, because I'd never heard of him, and I wanted to, before the podcast, I wanted to kind of study up on him. So, you know, he's an outfielder that got called up to Memphis. That's interesting. I wonder what's going to be happening in the next couple of days that Lane Thomas has been sent to Memphis, and, you know, if we're going to be seeing someone from Memphis being called up, Tyler O'Neill or Mercado or someone like that. I think that was an interesting move. It's not so much about Lane Thomas, about what that could mean for the Cardinals in the next couple of days, about who they might be calling up or who they might be sending down or who they might be trading or whatever. So Dakota Hudson is the good move for the bullpen, and I really liked it. So wondered what took so long.
I want to jump in on Lane Thomas here for a second.
Go for it.
So he's an outfielder, gets called up. He's looks like a defensive wizard, kind of like an Oscar Mercado, which makes you think maybe Oscar Mercado's on the way out, because where's the room for him? He's a great player. I'm continually impressed with Mercado, and Dr. Miles would be very happy to hear me say that. But what's interesting to me about that call-up is you lose a first baseman, you call up an outfielder. But when you lose the first baseman in the trade, you're getting Gallegos, who's going to be coming to Memphis, and taking what you would assume was Luke Voit's roster spot, which means another move is going to have to be made there. And then also when Chase and Shreve gets to St. Louis, when both of those guys report, there's going to be another spot that has to be made in St. Louis. So somebody's going to have to get sent down either to Memphis, or I guess you could send them straight to Springfield. But so there's just a couple developing things there as far as having space on the roster that could mean more trades are afoot, could just mean people are going to get sent a lot of different places. But, you know, it's going to be something definitely to keep an eye on.
All right, guys, great thoughts. We're going to take our first break here, and when we come back, we're going to start discussing two of the biggest changes that were made. So stick around. And welcome back to the Redbird Rants official podcast. We are going to start talking now about the sore thumb of the room, two of them in particular. The first one is Greg Holland. Greg Holland was supposed to be the guy. I certainly advocated for him, and I will certainly admit that I was most definitely wrong about his role as a potential closer for the Cardinals, because he could barely pitch at all. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you could attribute to it. You could attribute the fact that he is getting older. You can attribute the fact that he was signed on opening day and he didn't have any spring training. You can attribute the fact that he did finish the season kind of rough in Colorado, or perhaps the way that he was used. But we'll start with you, Russ. What do you think went wrong with Greg Holland?
Boy, I don't know. I was like you, CMS. I thought it was a great deal. Well, I remember Cardinal Nation, everybody being so excited when the day they signed him. And we thought, man, our bullpen is really going to be in good shape. We got our closer. We've got a lot of good arms in that thing. And, you know, they sent him down to A-ball, for a week or so, then brought him up, and he just never really settled in. I'm kind of surprised he never did get it figured out. I figured a guy like him would. But, you know, these relievers and closers, you know, when they lose it, they just suddenly lose it. I mean, all of a sudden they just can't do it anymore. I remember Jason Isenheim and Ryan Franklin. I mean, Ryan Franklin just fell apart quick. And so maybe that's what's happened to Greg Holland. Maybe his time has come. He just can't do it anymore. And unfortunately, he did it on the Cardinals' watch. So I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little stunned. And, you know, but they did the right thing. They had to clear that space and get someone who could help out. And, you know, Holland just wasn't working out.
Yeah, I mean, it is really unfortunate because he did seem to be very much still – I saw a lot of pictures of him from Cardinals media members and otherwise. He would still always be autographing things and he would always be interacting with fans. And he always seemed like, you know, a guy who was okay with being in St. Louis and wasn't, like, trying to get out in any way, shape, or form. It's really just a shame that, you know, with all the extraneous circumstances and the weird start to the season, it's just a shame that he himself couldn't really, like, get it together mentally and push through and, you know – be the pitcher that he could have been. But Trevor, what do you think went wrong with Greg Holland?
I don't know what went wrong with Greg Holland. I was, I started looking into him when I started back up with you guys, Redbird Rants, and that was around his DL stint and when he went down to AA to rehab. And I thought that was going to be great for him. He's going to come back and be great, which I think he was for about a game or two maybe. I thought it was all confidence, but I guess it's not because he seems pretty confident that a contender will sign him, which, okay, but you can't sell me that it's a difference in a year because he was an all-star last year. He might have ended poorly, but you don't go from an all-star year to walking close to eight guys per nine, actually having the same walkout and strikeout rate. With an ERA close to eight. I mean, it's just, I don't know what happened. It could just be that he fell off like relievers tend to do. The one that always sticks in my mind when I think of that is not a Cardinal, but Brian Wilson over in San Francisco when he was just this dominant closer and then all of a sudden it clicked and he was gone. So that could be it, I guess. But it's just, it's hard to think he would fall off that fast, especially being an all-star pitcher when your home field is in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out whatever happened between then and now, he doesn't know where the strike zone is. So if a contender does sign him, Godspeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing that's interesting that you mentioned, too, because there's another pitcher that came from Colorado that pitched very well in Colorado during his time there that we all expected to be very good when he got signed, and that was Tyler Chatwood. And look at him. It's kind of interesting to see. I mean, I know that, if I'm not mistaken, they installed a humidifier in the Colorado Stadium to sort of try and neutralize the effect. But it's still kind of odd that, I mean, that is still a hitter-friendly park. That is still Colorado. So it is kind of odd to see these pitchers that were playing very well in Colorado, like, just completely fall off of the face of the earth. I don't know what to say. But let's go into the other big sore thumb that was removed recently, and that is the end of the Mike Matheny era. As we all know, recently Mike Matheny and John Mabry were both canned, much to the joy of Cardinal Nation. And some interesting things have happened under new manager Mike Schilt and Buduska, hitting coach Buduska, and all those guys. First off, I just want to sort of go into the changes on the surface, not so much how they perform themselves. We'll start, I guess. I know you mentioned that you haven't really watched games, Trevor, but if you have seen any of the things that Schilt has done, especially in particular, you know, he changed Molina. He moved Molina to 2, moved Ozuna to 5, and bumped Pham down. Things like that. How do you feel about the moves that Schilt has made so far?
I feel good about it. I like everything he's done. Like I said on our celebration podcast a couple weeks ago, Matheny was never the prize. The prize was always Mabry. Just what Mabry was doing with the hitters and why these good hitters were struggling, like all of them. It was insane. But as far as what Schilt's done, I have no complaints thus far. I didn't even care when Ozuna was performing out of the four hole like a lot of other people did, because we were getting production out of Marcell Ozuna, even if it is just him keeping the line moving with singles out of the four hole. I know that's not what you want that guy to do, but he was hitting, which he wasn't doing before. So I have no issue with anything that's gone on so far. I tend to be a huge fan of Yadi in the second hole. I never thought of it until he did it, but as soon as he did it, I liked it. So that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, personally, the only thing that concerns me with Yadi being in the two hole is the double play potential, because we know that, I mean, whether it's Dexter Fowler, Tommy Pham, Matt Carpenter, whoever's in the leadoff spot, we don't have a lot of legs on this team, and Yadi is obviously not a great runner either. So that is a double play waiting to happen on every play. That's my only concern, but obviously Yadi is a great hitter, and he's certainly done well out of that spot. And everyone else has seemed to respond pretty well, too. But, Russ, what do you think of some of the moves that Schilt has made so far and some of the way he's just managed things overall?
Well, I was kind of, you know, I kind of had a wait-and-see attitude about it. I thought just in the clubhouse he probably made some sort of difference, but I guess I like I like the idea of hitting Yadi second. I mean, I thought it was kind of odd at first. I thought it was kind of like, you know, when La Russa batted the pitcher 8, hitting Yadi second at the front of the lineup, that was certainly an original idea. But it seems to have been working. I tell you what, I was kind of – I wasn't sure about him on was why he took some of the starting pitchers out after 70 or 80 pitches, maybe in the fifth inning or so, sure put a lot more pressure on that bullpen. I didn't really understand that and why he was doing it. I was worried that maybe he'd been instructed to do that to save those arms in the starting rotation, that they didn't want to take any risk this season with the way the season was going, but I don't know. It just seemed odd that he did that. Schilt, after the first two games against the Cubs, you know, I'm more upbeat about him than I was after coming after the last 10 games. So, you know, Yadi hitting second, it's odd, but it seems to be working. But I'm kind of curious about the way he's handling the starters. So, anyway.
Yeah, that is interesting that you mentioned that, because that is something that I kind of noticed too. My far-off theory, my shot in the dark, is that perhaps it's a way to open up some more low-leverage innings for some of these younger relievers to, you know, get some more run under them and get some more experience. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest problem with this team, or the biggest issue in my eyes, is the relief corps. And if we are going to blow up the bullpen and go young, might as well just let these guys go, give them some opportunities so that we don't have to do so when the team is ready to compete. What are your thoughts, Trevor, on any of that?
I have a different theory. We've seen that Schilt wants to stick with Fowler, and try to give him the confidence to do it, and especially early on before the whole bullpen blow up, when he's taking pitchers out like that. I think he was doing the same thing to the struggling bullpen that he was doing with the struggling hitter, saying, okay, here you go. This is your chance. This is your confidence. You know, go out and perform like you performed in the past, or like we think you should be performing. And it failed, and now they've blown up the bullpen. And now I would agree with you, CMS. It's just, hey, let's get our young arms and see what we got. But I think especially before the whole blow up a couple days ago, that I really believe that Schilt is one to say, okay, go prove yourself, especially being the new manager.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's definitely been sort of allowing people to, you know, do their own thing. I think players have been a little bit less stressed. I think that there's been a little bit less pressure. And I want to go into some numbers now that I found kind of interesting. Now, the sample size is small, I will admit, but under Matheny, this year the Cardinals had an 8.4% walk rate, which was 17th in the league, a 22.8% K rate, which is 20th in the league, and 129 doubles, which was last in that time span. In the games under Schilt, the Cardinals, Schilt, Buddha, and et cetera, because we certainly don't want to understate how bad John Mabry was. So with Schilt and Buddha now, the Cardinals in the short span that they've had have a 10.3% walk rate, which is 7th in the league on that time, a 16.5% strikeout rate, which was 3rd in the league, and 21 doubles, which was 5th. So is this about, you know, the manager? Is this about the environment? Is this Matt Carpenter? What do you think, Russ? Do you think this is a product of Mike Matheny being gone?
Well, I thought, so I think we talked about this last time I said it, I thought Matheny had lost the clubhouse sometime last year from the way they were playing. I mean, the mistakes in the fielding, the base running errors, it just was really awful. And, I think it just continued on this year. And so I think the freshness of, bringing in the new manager and the new hitting coach, I think that automatically helped. It's a short, like you said, it's a short sample. We'll see. I'm not completely sold on him yet. It's better than it was, but let's see how it stretches out over the last 2 months of the season. I think he'll be left in place for the last 2 months of the season, no matter what happens. So I'm lukewarm about him, but because it's such a short sample size of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, Russ. I think they did mention that he would, no matter what, be the guy for the season. But I, for one, I don't think it's going to be pretty tough for him to keep the job through next year, which we'll talk about a little later. But okay. Trevor, what do you think about the sort of the hitting, the discipline and the vision improvement that has been shown over that small sample size since Matheny has been gone? Do you think that it's because of Mabry and Matheny being gone? Do you think it's the positive impact of Buddha? What do you think?
Yes and no to the Matheny question. I think right now the numbers are still skewed from Matt Carpenter having a whole career in the span of like a week or two. You know, I think the salsa is kind of skewing the data right now. But I think that this is better. You know, we heard Marcelo Zuna getting help from Buddha, and they were trying to change his eye line, which seems like something so simple that could have been done forever. So changes are happening. Even if you don't keep Schilt, I think you need to keep Buddha. At least I hope they keep Buddha. I'm a big fan of him. And Schilt will be around the rest of the year. He's managing for his job right now because he obviously would like this beyond just the year. And he'll certainly be a candidate. But I hope that Buddha sticks around no matter what. And I like the fact that the Cardinals are taking their time, but I've mentioned that before, wrote a piece on it, and like you said, we'll talk about it. So as for the numbers, things are getting better, but I don't know that we'll know the immediate – I mean, I don't think we can, with great confidence, say that these are the changes that are happening. I think it'll still take a little bit longer.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the Matt Carpenter thing has definitely sort of skewed things. I do think that Buddha is a very good guy to keep simply because there's a lot of players that he's familiar with on this roster that have also really advocated for him and specifically mentioned him as a guy who has been the one that has really helped them get back or find something that they were missing or anything of that sort. So if we're happy with Buddha as hitting coach, obviously a manager search is still in order. I know obviously Schilt is a candidate, but there are a lot of other rumblings around the waters. The most recent one being is that Matt Holliday, who was at one point thought to be a candidate for us in the next year, signed a minor league deal, which most certainly makes things interesting. Another big favorite is Joe Girardi, who mentioned he wanted to be a Cardinal manager. You had Gotti, you know, bring up casually that he would love to be a player manager. Yeah, it'd be cool, which I think would be very, very interesting, but I don't personally agree with. And then another name that's been swirled around is Mark McGwire, which there hasn't been as many rumors, but that's definitely a name that has been connected. So, Trevor, we'll start with you. Who do you want as manager, and who do you think will be manager next year?
You mentioned Edmonds. I like the idea of Edmonds. I was always an Edmonds fan growing up. But if you want me to be honest, they're going to get Girardi because it just seems like the pattern to go where if you decide to go one way, as soon as that manager gets fired, you decide to go another way. Getting Matheny. And I always equate this to what just happened in Detroit because I live in Detroit. So, you know, Matheny and Ausmus were both new managers. And they didn't work out. They get fired. Detroit went with Gardenhire, who was an experienced manager. That's what Girardi is. But in the same way that I think Gardenhire is just a temporary hire during a rebuild, I think that the Cardinals should go in this with a plan of when they think they're going to compete, if they're going to get Girardi, which I think it's going to be Girardi, and say, we're going to sign Girardi, but we're going to know who we want our guy to be over the next, you know, by this year, we want to get the guy that we think is going to take this team to the next level. And I don't think that's Girardi, and I don't think the Cardinals would believe that's Girardi. So I think just as a reflex, it's going to end up being Joe Girardi. I don't think Joe Girardi is the long-term answer, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Edmonds, too. The only thing with Edmonds that sort of protrudes me, I guess, is the fact that, I mean, he has been in the clubhouse, but I think that there is a big difference between being in the clubhouse as a player and being in the clubhouse as a coach or a manager. And, you know, having that experience in itself is having the player experience is just not quite as valuable when you come to being a manager. So, I mean, he certainly knows his stuff about baseball, and I certainly am not doubting that. But, I mean, like we've said in recent podcasts, like everyone knows, it's one of the hardest jobs to do to manage a team and to manage a group of guys. So, I mean, that's why I was looking, like I said, towards guys like, you know, Joe Girardi or Mark McGwire, who are the two big guys that will probably be signed. But, I mean, like you said, Trevor, I think the rumblings are Girardi right now. But, Russ, have you heard anything different? Do you have any shots at a left field that you want to give to us?
Well, I hope they at least interview Girardi. I hope they at least, you know, consider going outside the system and talking to some guys, some experienced managers. You know, a little fresh blood wouldn't hurt this organization, I don't think. Some new ideas, bringing them in. I'm not sure I want to go with a former player who's had no managing or coaching experience. Edmonds, I like him, especially as a commentator on Fox Sports Midwest. He's my favorite, actually. And maybe if they could get him in the system as some sort of coach, hitting coach first, that'd be fine. But as a manager coming in and taking over, no, I don't think so. McGwire, maybe. You know, he does have the coaching experience now. And he's been to three different teams. Maybe he'd be good. But I sure hope that they do their due diligence and do interview after the season. And I don't know if Terry Francona, that's a name I keep wanting to throw out there. I've heard no rumors about that, but I wouldn't mind them seeing if he'd be interested in coming into St. Louis. He's doing so well in Cleveland, he probably wouldn't. But I hope they interview Girardi, and I hope they interview a few others outside the Cardinal system.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, Russ. Maybe if this team had a little bit more oomph, a little more talent, a little more veteran leadership, a little more, you know, that gutsiness that we've seen from guys like bulldogness from guys like Carpenter, you know, Chris Carpenter, mind you. Then, you know, maybe we could have a younger, fresher kind of manager. But with this team who doesn't quite have that, who's still sort of trying to find his footing, I think that the Cardinals really need someone who already has that foundation to hold up and not someone who's trying to build on the go. So we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss some more trade deadline speculation, see who we might think get traded, and, you know, just generally talk about the future. So stay tuned. And welcome back to the Redbird Rants official podcast. This is episode 16 of season 2. We are going to get into some more trade deadline speculation because this is as active as the Cardinals have been in, honestly, in my lifetime even. I don't remember, at least, the Cardinals being this active, and we're certainly expecting more. So the first name that has been floating around, the smaller name, I guess, per se, is Bud Norris. You know, with all the rumblings in the clubhouse, with the story about him and Jordan Hicks, just the fact that he's an older reliever, the fact that we're not so much a contending team, that's definitely a name that everybody has said he's going to get traded. So we'll start with you, Russ. Do you think Bud Norris gets traded? And if so, do you have any idea where?
I haven't really believed that he would get traded. I guess they could move Hicks into the closer spot if they did and give him a shot at it. They're four games out of the, I'm not trying to go down hard about the Cardinals this year, but, you know, they're still four games out of the wild card with 2 months left to play. I'm not sure they would trade Norris. You know, if they had lost these first two games against the Cubs and had fell farther behind, then maybe so. But I'm not sure they're going to trade Norris. I think they'll hang on to him. And I just don't have a feel of what they're going to do during this trade deadline. I just, you know, it's I'm not sure if they're going to get rid of someone big or make some more minor moves. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens. But I think Norris sticks around.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, Russ. This has been, as like I said, this has been a rather irregular offseason, or irregular trade deadline for the Cardinals. I mean, they're never really a big buyer team, or never a really big selling team. But this is the first time, at least I've seen a real fire sale. So it is really hard to say what direction they want to go in, because this is the first time we've walked down this road. But what do you think, Trevor? Do you think that Bud Norris gets traded? And if so, where does he go?
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this in a way that, okay, here we go. We all had an idea of what we thought Bud Norris was going to be when the Cardinals signed him in the offseason. He has pitched a lot better than what our collective idea, I believe, was. And I don't think that the one season, you know, pitching well is going to be enough to get a decent enough return on him to say, okay, that was the right move, especially when around trade deadline time, like Russ said, you're only four games out of the wild card. Dr. Miles, I'm going to give you a shout out right now. He was high on Morris. There you go. But he says he might have been the only one. I agree with that. I'm still skeptical every time Norris runs out there, honestly. I know he's pitched pretty well. I even picked him up in my fantasy league. I'm just still skeptical. I don't know. So I'd like to trade him. I don't think the Cardinals will, because I don't think they're going to get what they would want back necessarily. So it's a weird situation in my mind.
Yeah, I think the like you were saying, the big thing is just the fact that he's played so well and that the return might not be as great as you would expect. I think it would be possible if you could find a contending team that has a reliever hole that you could perhaps get something out of it. But other than that, it's going to be hard to say, especially, like I said, with that story coming out about Norris and Hicks. I mean, I don't really know what teams are thinking about that, because I don't really know what the Cardinals think about that. I don't really know if it's true, because they've all come out and said it's not. But that's a whole different – that's just another weird situation that just complicates the whole situation. But so I do agree. I don't think he's going to get traded simply because the return won't be good and the situation is just a little too fluid, I guess. Now, keeping him, I think we need to keep him not – make sure that we establish a closer that's not him if we're going to keep him, because he can't be our closer. We have to have a younger guy be the closer. It's just not healthy for the team. I think that he's been okay in the high leverage situation, but there's a lot of times where he just sort of will miss these pitches and he'll just become like the Bud Norris that I know and I remember. And, you know, if we're not throwing the season, like Russ said, we're four games out of it. If we're not letting the season go, then we need to do everything we can to try and make that run for the younger guy. And I think
Hicks is your guy.
Sorry?
No, I said I think Hicks is your guy if you're going to go.
Hicks is definitely, I would say, but it's just a matter of when are you going to, it's a matter of when you think that they're going to establish him as that guy. Do you think, I'll pose this question to you, either one of you can answer. Do you think that by the end of the year, Jordan Hicks will be our closer?
I don't know that he'd get the true job. I think he'll get closing opportunities. I think as long as Bud Norris is around, they're going to let Bud Norris close games. And I don't think that they would feel the need to establish a new guy necessarily until that's not the case. I mean, if they trade him, sure, yeah, you throw Hicks right in there, I would say. But I think by the end of the year, Hicks will eventually start to be getting some more closing opportunities if he hasn't gotten them already, but just to start kind of shaping him for that role in the upcoming years.
Do you agree,
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with Trevor. I think I don't see them throwing Hicks out there just all of a sudden. And I think as long as they got Norris around, like Trevor said, they'll keep using Norris. But I do think they'll try him out a little bit here and there as a closer, just to see how he does. He's a young guy, and you don't want to mess up that mentality this early in his career. You want to try to, you know, ease him into it. I think one day he will likely be the closer for the Cardinals, maybe next year. But I don't think they'll throw it at him, especially if they think they're still in the race a bit. I don't think they'll throw it at him. I think I agree with Trevor.
Okay. You kind of made your opinion known on this one, Russ. So I'll sort of send this one to Trevor. So, Trevor, you did say that you think that the Cardinals will keep Hicks out of the closing spot. But let me pose this. Do you agree with keeping Hicks out of the closer spot?
No, but that's only because I've never trusted, nor will I ever build up the trust for Bud Norris. Hicks is very good. But the thing is, I don't think he's necessarily ready to just drop into the closer spot and say, live or die, it's your game. I think that giving him some opportunity to close out games, but not naming him the closer, just giving him every now and then, working him into it, I think is really important. Kind of like the same theory that, you know, with Dakota Hudson, how he'll become a better starter because he's relieving this year. So I think that you build him into it just because, I mean, what, he hadn't pitched higher than single-A ball last year, I think. So he progressed very quickly, and that's what concerns me about him just dropping directly into a closer's role. He throws hard, which is awesome, and he will be a good closer, I think. But he just needs to kind of grow into it, and I think they need to ease him into it rather than just drop him down.
Any response to that, Russ?
No, I agree with that. I don't think they should throw it in at him now. I don't think they will, and I don't think they should. I think they should I think they should ease him into it. This is a good year to try it out. They've got Bud Norris. He's done good so far this year. I think he'll continue to do good, and I think he'll at least be adequate as a closer. And I think then they can use Hicks here and there, especially now that they've beefed up the bullpen. They may have some opportunities where they don't have to use Hicks in the eighth inning all the time. They may have someone else who can step up and do the eighth inning. When they've used Norris a couple of days in a row as a closer, then they can throw Hicks out there and give them a shot at it. But right now, I believe Norris should be your primary closer, and Hicks should fill in here and there.
Yeah, I think for me, at least, the key thing for Hicks before he becomes a closer, because I definitely agree with you guys, the key for me before Hicks becomes a closer is working on the breaking pitches. Because at the end of the day, if no matter how fast your fastball is, even Aloldis Chapman has to throw a breaking pitch every once in a while. Having that slider, establishing the slider, the reason that Pernine is much lower than you would expect, Jordan Hicks, is because his slider hasn't quite been established yet, and that batters are just able to watch the fastball and lay off anything that's slower than 100 miles an hour. So if Hicks can establish that change of speed, the break, it doesn't even have to be a great one. It can just be a change of speed as long as it can hit the strike zone and be controllable. I think that will be the key to him becoming a closer. So we're running in on 2 minutes, so I'll give you one more name that we expected to be traded to the Yankees that is in a way like Luke Voit, and that he's probably a little bit more valuable to the AL than the NL, and that is Jose Martinez, because there's been a lot of talk that he might get traded because he certainly has more value in the AL than the NL. So we'll start with you, Russ. What do you think about a Jose Martinez trade? If you think it'll happen, where do you think it'll go?
I think he could go to the American League. I think he'd go to the Yankees. I'm trying to think of some other. I'm really not as familiar with the American League teams as I am with the National League teams. What teams would who needs a DH right now? The Cardinals might, if they don't get what they think they should for him right now, they might hold off and see what they can get in the offseason for him. I'm mixed about whether they should even get rid of Jose Martinez, why they're still just four games out of the wild card. This is really a difficult time to start 2 days away from the trade deadline, and the Cardinals are still kind of hanging in there, and it's kind of hard to make a call like whether Jose Martinez should be traded. I 2 weeks ago, before they got rid of Matheny, I would have said, yeah, why not? You know, they're not going anywhere, but you know, this team might be showing some life, and then maybe Jose is still useful. He's not very good in the field, but you know, he's still driving in runs. So, I'm not all that pumped right now on getting rid of him. But if he goes somewhere, I really don't know my American League teams that well. I just know there's a lot of talk about the Yankees.
Yeah, at least for me, for the Jose Martinez, the big thing for me is the reason that we want to trade him is the fielding thing. But we also want to make sure that his value hasn't diminished so much while sitting on the bench or while aging, et cetera, that the return we're getting from the hitting isn't going to, you know, cover what we get from Jose. So I'm an advocate of trading him simply because I don't think his value is going to be much higher than it is right now. And I think that the return that we can get from him can actually be more substantial than if you really work for it, can be a little bit more substantial than some people might imagine. But like I said, I wouldn't be too opposed to keeping him because he's been the best hitter on the team. But Trevor, what do you think?
They're going to get rid of him eventually, I think. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be now. And you can say it's because of defense if you want, but the reason that they're going to have to get rid of him, and they're going to probably have to get rid of another outfielder, or maybe not, but they're going to need to make room for Tyler O'Neill. There's only so long you can wait for a guy who's leading the PCL in home runs, PCL, but who's leading that league in home runs, before you say, okay, well, it's time for him to get his honest shot at the big league level. I know that he's been up, but let's be honest with ourselves. He needs to just be thrown into a starting spot and given the Dexter Fowler treatment of here you go, develop into whatever you're going to develop into, and that's going to be it. So I think that eventually he is going to need to move, and that's going to be precisely just to make room for Tyler O'Neill. I mean, there's no other way around it. We need Tyler O'Neill to get up to the major league level and get his consistent shot. I mean, he's our number two prospect in the organization.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I forgot to mention, Trevor. Thank you for mentioning that, is that just the fact that Jose, at the end of the day, no matter how you think about it, is not going to be a long-term guy, which is why trading him while his value is higher is important, because at most we're going to keep him for a couple more years, but he's not going to be someone that's going to be around for a very long time. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the Cardinals are doing okay, but you have to really look more long-term, because at the end of the day, the goal is to win the World Series, and this team is simply not cutting it right now. But I would like to thank you guys for coming on with me, and I'd like to thank anyone who's listened to us this far. We appreciate your support. This has been the 16th episode of Season 2 of the Redbird Rants podcast. I'm Christian Maysuzuki with contributor Russ Robinson and our wonderful editor Trevor Huth. We wish you a good day and go Cardinals.